Come with me to Jeremiah 33. Hallelujah. We want to ask. Jeremiah 33. You know, gradually, we find the world tilt. Whether you look at science, you look at technology, you look at commerce, you look at philosophies, and sometimes even the theologies of churches, you start to see and hear how people will glean more, or should I say lean more, to the natural, almost to the insistence of leaning on common sense. And gradually, you will find even Christian churches talk down on the importance of prayer and why they think, ever you hear some very careless statements like Europe is well developed, Africa is praying, Africa is looking for what Europe has, yet Europe is not praying. And you have all sorts of ridiculous things even said by churches. Sometimes it's even said, yes, of course, by those who are not believers, but you have to ask yourself, what are you listening to come to that kind of conclusion? But look at Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It says, call unto me and I'll answer you. It says, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest. He says, call unto me, and I'll answer. Now look at the answer of God. The answer of God is to show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Which means that the prayer, right, is not talking about what you want. Because if it is what you want, then you know what you want. But he says, I will show you what you did not know. So which means that prayer is our contact with revelation. Prayer is us contacting, having an encounter with the revelations of God. Say, I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Now, if you read further, you will see that he was talking about, watch this closely, the redemption of the world. Salvation, lives being turned around. Of course, the defeat of the enemy is also there. It says in 6, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them. I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Verse 7, I will cause the captivity of Judah and captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Verse 8, whereby they have all sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. Verse 9, it says, it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth. Shall thou hear of all good I do unto them, and they shall not fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. So which means that our prayer, right, changes people, changes people, nations in different places, but very vitally. It is our contact with God's revealed plan. Which means, in the place of prayer, we get to see what God is doing and what God wants to do. So prayer is our contact with His revelation. Listen carefully. I know, you know, we have had a culture of prayer where you enter into the prayer room, as we say, to meet your own agenda. To meet your own agenda. That is why you find Christians find it difficult to comprehend some Christians. Why a believer will spend hours praying. In fact, somebody said, if you have been praying for so long, hasn't God heard your prayer? If He has heard your prayer, you ought to stop praying. Now, making that statement shows that you don't know why we pray. So if He has heard your prayer, why are you still praying? Because for many, prayer is like a transactional thing. I ask something, it's given to me, and that's all. No, that's not what it is. Prayer Prayer is about the will of God in the earth. Prayer is about God's agenda in the earth. Prayer is about God's schedule in the earth. Prayer is why Daniel, we're going to get to Daniel. He saw the books and said, by now, that's what Daniel said, the captivity ought to have been torn. He said, by the prophecy of Jeremiah. Then he set himself, knowing that this thing ought to have happened. So he set himself to pray. Which means that he knew that by God's word, by the prophecy of Jeremiah, by the things I've read in scripture, this is not what should be happening in Nigeria. This is not what should be happening in Kenya now. This is not what should be happening in Ghana now. So what did he do? He set himself to fast and pray. And you see that the Old Testament authors will call it supplications. This is where the New Testament writers pick their thing from. When you have prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, what they have in mind is what we're talking about. So the first thing you need to take your mind away from in prayer is that prayer is about me. Prayer is not about you. Prayer is about God. Prayer is about God's will. Prayer is about God's power. Ask me and I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. In Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus. So after this manner, he says, pray ye. We are praying so often, we don't even know what he's talking about. He said, our Father, verse 9, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What was the key issue there? Your kingdom come. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling us that the pattern of prayer is to bring the kingdom of God to bear in the earth. Prayer is about the kingdom of God. Prayer is about the authority of God. Prayer is about the will of God. Prayer is about the power of God. Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why in 6:33 he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He takes our mind away of asking for clothes, what to wear, what to eat, what to put on. He says, these things the Gentiles seek after, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So when you get to chapter 7, and he says to them in verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Now, this is not my focus this morning, but Greek scholars have found out that the word ask there and the word knock are in the present tense continuous. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. He that asks shall receive. He that seeks will find. He that knocks, the door shall be opened. So you keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. So prayer is a consistent activity. Until the will of God and the kingdom of God is done in all the earth. Prayer has no closure. Prayer has no full stop. Prayer has no time. You say, well, we are prayed. There's nothing called we are prayed. We pray to pray. And when we are done praying, it is so that we can pray again. Keep asking. Because the focus of prayer is the kingdom of God. God's rule. God's reign. God's power. God's will. God's agenda. If prayer was so transactional, why did Jesus pray at the baptism in Luke 3, he prayed at the baptism again. He prayed after he was tempted of the devil. Again, he kept praying. Luke 6. Luke, he prayed on the cross. He prayed before the cross at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. If it's this prayer that we all just need to hear and it is fulfilled, how come when his disciples also came back from Jerusalem, Acts 1:15-16, they continued praying? Again, they saw the great results. Acts 2, 1-4. And then Acts 2:37, people were born again. Verse 41 says that there were 3,000 that were added to the church. Acts 2:42, they continued praying. Why are they continuing praying? Wasn't the job done? If you have had 3,000 people born again, why are you praying again? In fact, the 3,000 people born again is the reason why you have to continue praying. Because prayer is a continuous activity. It's a consistent activity. That is why the Lord Jesus will spend the whole night praying, all day praying. He spent hours and hours. He is God, don't forget. And he's praying consistently until the kingdom of God is done in the earth. And Paul tells us, that's at the end when he has delivered up the kingdom to the Father. And he says, that's the end. Until that point, prayer is the activity that keeps the will of God consistently done in the earth. The moment he gave them the great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That in itself shows you the activity of prayer. He didn't say go into all the world and pray. He said preach. How come they are praying? Because you cannot preach without praying. You can't. So, prayer is a consistent activity. We want the will of God to be done on earth in every place. Then we pray. So prayer is kingdom activity for kingdom advancement in all places. Kingdom activity for kingdom advancement and influence in all places. Now when you hear kingdom, hear this well. We're going to talk about that later. When you hear about kingdom, kingdom in the Bible is always a military term. It's about territories, wars. It also shows you it's about conflict. So just as the will of God is to be done on earth, we have an advance with the devil. Just as the will of God is to be done on earth, we have the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. It says, he blinds the mind of them that believe not. 1 Peter 5. It says, like a warrior that walks around looking for whom he might devour. So, just as the will of God is to be done, we have opponents. So prayer is not something you used to do or you retire from. The life of prayer is the life of a Christian. He has to consistently pray. Why? Because he has to consistently see the will of God done in the earth. So prayer is about the kingdom of God. Listen to this. This is vital. That you don't lose part of what I'm saying here. Prayer is not about you. Prayer is about God's will in the earth. Prayer is myself coming into partnership with God to see his will done on earth. It's God walking through me to get things done on earth. So the first thing you are going to see in that statement is that prayer therefore launders my mind from my will or of my will. It takes my own desire out and then places God's will in my mind. So in the place of prayer, my own desires are taken out. My own ideas are taken out. So it shows you that underlining or underneath the practice of prayer is a life of consecration. A life of dedication. That is why when you look at people who are given to the work of the ministry or all through the life of Christianity, Old and New Testament books, when you see people who are given to the work of the ministry, given to the service of God, a vital part of their lives is a life of prayer. You cannot be more consecrated to God's will beyond your life of prayer. You cannot be more dedicated to God's will on earth beyond your life of prayer. Your life of prayer is your life of consecration. Because it will show what burns in your heart. It will show what is there in your heart. If people are in trouble today, and you ask them, pray. They say, what's going on? Say, I've lost my job. This has happened. This is going on. And all that. They say, to pray. They raise their voice. Why? Because that is there to their heart. What if you tell them, well, we saw that, you know, there's one street in that place. It's filled with cultists. I think we should pray. You just say, okay, yes, Father Lord, take control, take control. Give me praise. You know why? Because that life is not dedicated to God and to His will. The reason why you were much more intense in praying for a job, praying for a wife, praying for a child, a husband, praying for a visa, even praying for your health. The reason why you are more focused on that is because than praying for the will of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel and its influence in the earth is because the gospel is not really your priority. Because if it were to be your priority, what will bring tears to your eyes the most? What will bring tears to the eyes of God the most? So prayer is where, like one song said, exchanging your thoughts for our thoughts. Our thoughts for yours. We take yours, we take away ours. That's what it is. So in the place of prayer, priorities are changing. Because the kingdom of God is priority. Are changing. What I see is different. What I now look forward to is different. That's what prayer does. So prayer rearranges my priorities. As we are going to pray now, we're going to see the things we are going to pray about. It is not just to get them done in the earth. It is to also change your own priorities. To change how you think. So prayer rearranges my priorities. It is the will of God to be done on earth. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And verse 7. I'll ask, I'll declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. And I'll give you the Ethan for an inheritance. It says the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. He said, ask of me and I'll give you. Why do I have to ask first? If he wants to do it, let him do it. No. He said, ask of me. Why is he asking you to ask? So that your priorities become his own. So his priorities become your own. Your priorities will take on his own priorities. The reason why we ask for the will of God in the earth is so that it rearranges how we think and what our priorities are. So brothers and sisters, in this conference, expect your priorities to change. In this conference, that is what you are going to be looking forward to. Lord, I want to see what you are seeing. I don't want to see what the media is saying. I don't want to see what the social media is saying. I don't want to see what the news media is saying. I don't want to see what the government are saying. I want to see what you are saying. That is why you are asking. Because if you are asking, it means you are asking for what God wants. And that means you start to want what He wants. Says you ask and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Remember the Great Commission. He says, be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you are here, God is asking you to ask for nations you've never been to, right? Come on. is asking you to ask for places you might never get to. It's asking you to ask for people that are not related to you. It's asking you to ask for tribes that don't even speak your language. That is why it is always. As long as we keep having people birth into the earth, prayer can't stop. Prayer can't cease. So we pray. Acts 2:42. They prayed continually. Look at Acts, when they threatened them and they told them they cannot keep preaching the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice in one accord. And then they spoke out Psalm 2, verse 1, the one we just read now. Psalm 2. But you know something about that Psalm 2? They said against your holy one, against your anointed, they are persecuting us for that sake. And then they said, grant unto thy servants boldness, that with all boldness we may speak your word and signs and wonders. Look at the focus. The focus is for the nations. The focus is the uttermost part of the earth. The focus was not about them. Oh Lord, help us. This one that they don't want us to have church service. Oh Lord, blind their minds. Oh Lord, let us have a new place to worship. Oh Lord, let them open the media so that we can preach. No. He said, grant unto us boldness that we may speak your word. Consistently. Paul will say, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Watching unto open for all the saints. Then he says that, for us, that we may speak, preach the word of God boldly. So when you see that, you see the essence of prayer is about God's word, God's will in the earth. So let this time rearrange your priorities. Let this moment change your focus. Let this time rearrange your pursuits. Prayer is about the will of God. Prayer is about the kingdom of God. Prayer is about the nations of the earth. Prayer is about God's purpose in the earth. I'm going to share just one story. And then we'll pray. Look at Daniel 6. Daniel 6. Prayer, therefore, will be to confront the adversary, to confront the systems of this world. In Daniel 6, we find that Daniel was without fault and all of that. Then in verse 5, they sought occasion to find fault against him. Then he came to the king Darius and told him, look at the request that they made to the king. Very strange. They said, in all the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, verse 7, and the priests and the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever, look at this statement, shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. That is, they made a prayer against prayer. They said, let us have a decree that nobody should pray. Now, listen. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing. Shall not be changed. And the king went ahead to do it. Look at verse 10. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Satan is threatened by men of prayer. Satan is threatened by men of prayer. Because he knows. Look at what they did. They said, well, they didn't find any fault in him. He's a clean guy. There's no records of wrong. Another, one area we need to stop him. We need to stop his prayer life. So they said, give a decree, the king signed it. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. And this man assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Hallelujah. The more we are hearing about why prayer is not necessary, it's a confrontation. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? The more we are going to pray. So we increase our volumes of prayer at the sound of any opposition to it. That's what we do. Because we can see that the kingdom of darkness is threatened by men who pray. You must see it that way. That your prayer life is about the kingdom of God. It's about the will of God. It's about the purpose of God in the earth. And your prayer life threatens the enemy. That is why Paul will say, he says, be anxious for nothing. But prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Supplication is that fixed, firm petition a man has before God. And supplication is always consistent, persistent, and continued. James tells us about Elijah. He said he was a man subject to like passions, like as we are. He said he prayed that it might not rain. He prayed again that it might rain. He prayed and prayed again. Say, I pray and I pray again. Say, I pray and I pray again. So you are here for the kingdom of God. You are here for the will of God. You are here as an expression of God's pursuit in the earth. So what has he asked us to ask for? The nations. What has he asked you to ask for? The uttermost parts of the earth. That is what he has given you a prayer point. He said, keep asking me for this. Keep asking me for that. Keep asking me for that nation. I told you, nations is not just geographical territory. Nations refers to people. We have a sudden rise of cultism in the earth. In Nigeria precisely, in Africa I believe. Drug addiction. A sudden rise of young people even being given to atheism. Now, what did he ask us to do when we see that? Ask. Ask of me. Ask of me now. Don't say, well, don't be complaining. He didn't call us to complain. He called us to ask and say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what we are going to do. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. That is what we are going to do. We don't need more deep teaching of the word now. That's not what we need first. We don't need one deep explanation of how God is God in spite of what the atheists are saying. No! First of all prayer. Hallelujah. First of all prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1. Paul said to Timothy, first of all prayer. The apostle will not leave the word of God and serve tables. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer first. Prayer first. Prayer first. Prayer first. Ask of me. And we are ready to ask of him. Anybody like that today? We are ready to ask. We want to ask what he wants. What does he want? He wants the nations of the earth. What does he want? He wants the uttermost parts of the earth. What does he want? He wants his kingdom to reign in the affairs of men. What does he want? He wants every land covered with his glory. What does he want? He wants every young man born again. What does he want? He wants every old man born again. What does he want? He wants every prostitute born again. What does he want? He wants every idolater submitted to his will and purpose. That is what he wants.
and he has asked you to ask. Ask.
So in closing, in this session, we are not just praying like machines. We are also rearranging what we see in this world. And I trust the Lord that in these sessions of prayer and supplications, your sight will be altered. Your sight will be altered. In this time, all the debts will be removed. Some of you who have had blurred visions about God's purpose for your life, this is the hour. Hallelujah. This is the hour. This is the moment. This is the hour. The moment where the pursuits will either be changed or it will be enhanced in Christ Jesus. This is the hour. He said, ask of me and I'll give you. So we are asking God what he wants. We are asking him what he wants. The next couple of days, you will be seeing yourself wanting new things. You will be seeing yourself seeing new things. You will get a hold, a firm hold of God's global vision. For yourself, for your ministry, for your nation, I tell you, this is the moment. You will see what you should see. The opening text I showed you, it said, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I will show you, hallelujah, I will show you great and mighty things that you knew not. So for all kinds of despondency, hopelessness, that overtaking people's minds here, it will be exchanged for God's great and mighty things. There'll be fresh fire here. Fresh vision here. I prayed for you. I've spent the last 1 week of hope praying for you. And I know that God will change lives here. Because prayer, before it changes people, must first of all change you. It will change your pursuit, change your direction, change your own desires. Some of you are here with plastic ministry. No plastic ministry. You are just packaging, packaging. That devilish orientation will be out of your life in Jesus' name. Packaging, packaging, packaging. No, we don't need packaging. Hallelujah. We are asking for the nations. We are not asking for packaging. We are asking for the nations. We are asking for the uttermost part of the earth. And whatever it will take. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be given. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand to your feet. Lord, we dedicate this hour. We dedicate this moment. The next couple of days, we dedicate them to your purpose and plan.